This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Striking Kia range, the cornerstone of progressive technology, blistering performance and quality design. That's Kia.
100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie Az.
You're listening to Sports Day.
Yeah, and we're here for Kia, progressive technology, blistering performance and quality design, and also for the Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe, it's Aussie Az. And don't forget some of our audience heading to the BBL, what is it called, the qualifier or something like that.
Let's call it the prelim final.
The prelim final would be much less confusing. And to tell us about it is our next guest, the chief cricket writer at The Age, is Dan Bredig. Dan, what are we calling tonight's game? The Challenger, is it?
Yes.
All right. Well, what do you think? Sydney Sixers and the Brisbane Heat, both teams have been decimated due to international duties, but gets underway very shortly. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. No, I'd say that the Sixers would be absolutely beside themselves if they didn't win tonight, given the Heat kind of stumbled into it, finished fifth, and whereas the Sixers have been duking it out with the Scorchers, not only all year but most of recent years. So even without Steve Smith, you'd say they've got a deeper squad to choose from, and they'd want to do it at home.
Well, Steve Smith was a bonus pick anyway because he came in late.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, the they knew, you know, what it would have been about middle of December that he was going to be part of the team.
Yep.
But yeah, they didn't know what to expect. Obviously, the contrast with Dave Warner is a pretty big one. You know, he was more the recognised T20 superstar who couldn't get it going when he came back for the Thunder. So Smith's innings were definitely a big bonus, not only for the Sixers, but the whole competition.
Looking back to the start of the cricket season, we had the T20 World Cup and Steve Smith sat on the sidelines for all bar one game. What was preventing his selection? Was it just form in the T20? Was it the selectors hadn't seen this new technical approach he was having?
I think it had a lot to do with precedent, order of precedence, the fact that the team had won the World Cup in the UAE the year before, and they'd made a decision that the only addition they were going to make was to bring Tim David in. Yeah. In recognition of needing that extra power to reach those more distant boundaries. And yeah, they probably underestimated the amount of change that Steve Smith had been able to make to his game in a 2020 sense. And he reflected with a bit of frustration the other night after winning the Alan Border medal that the one innings he got during that tournament was against Afghanistan and Adelaide, and he actually had COVID at the time. Hmm. So he wasn't necessarily feeling his best that night. But the Sixers got the benefit of what Australia didn't see at the time.
We spoke about Smith's win of the Alan Border medal on Monday, and Jared sort of started the show, and we were both surprised by the comments from social media and the like, that they still were referencing the ball tampering thing. I mean, do you feel it's time to let that go, and are you surprised the vitriol that still comes Smith and Warner's way?
It's definitely time to let it go. But that being said, I think one of the reasons why a lot of people in the Australian public find it hard to let it go is just the sheer intensity of the moment. And it can be easy to forget, particularly when, you know, we work in media roles where we're dealing with issues all of the time. People who dip in and out of sport or politics or whatever it is in and around their daily lives, like the sheer scale of the impact of that moment and the amount of criticism that was directed to Steve Smith and to Dave Warner in particular, it's really not something that anyone had experienced in Australian cricket or even Australian sport to a degree before or since. So I think the fact that a lot of people have still got it in the back of their minds is because it was kind of seared in 2018.
Yeah, it was a shock to the national psyche. There's no question about that. It was as big an issue as I've ever had on radio over many, many years. But I look back on it now and I just wonder whether or not it was a huge overreaction. I think it was because it was so much on top of the damaged relationship between the Australian cricket team and the public at that stage, that this was almost the final straw. But so many other captains and so many other high-end players have done exactly the same crime and been suspended for 1 week.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And I think probably something that has been lost in the years since is that, you know, within 6 months of the Newlands scandal happening, there was an independent review of Cricket Australia released that apportioned pretty wide blame for the culture, the win-at-all-costs kind of attitude that led up to the, I suppose you'd say, the compromises and the cheating.
Yep.
that ultimately took place. And I think it's not necessarily easy to, transpose something that was pinned on a couple of individuals to being an issue with an entire organisation, but that's a more accurate picture, I think, than maybe the one that that was projected to a lot of the public at the time in, when was it, April 2018.
Can I ask you about Nick Hockley, the CEO? His standing was probably a little bit damaged through the David Warner scenario. And good evening to Michael Warner, if you're listening. But has it been resurrected because of the TV deal? And is that all it takes to land a good TV deal to keep you in the job?
Well, I think there's certainly there's no question that in terms of like clear targets for a sport governing body chief executive, your broadcast rights deal, your major commercial deals are right at the top of the tree.
Yep.
I think the other thing that definitely is in Nick Hockley's favour is the fact that the Australian team is touring freely overseas again. That, yep, helps a lot in terms of international reputation. Obviously both the men's and the women's teams are functioning at a very high level at the moment, so that helps as
all
well.
Good, yep.
But I think the question really in terms of the future is once that big deal has been done. Now that we've gotten through what you call the day-to-day issues of keeping the show on the road in and around COVID, does someone like Nick Hockley, does he fit the role in terms of the next long term, or is it a situation where you look at someone else? But I don't think that's I wouldn't say he'd be in any trouble for his job in the immediate future, no.
Who's Australia's most important player as of the first test on Thursday?
It's a very good question, Kane. I'd say that the way that he's batting at the moment, and also the way that his batting is, by his own admission, quite suited to South Asian conditions, it's got to be Steve Smith, really. And one of the things that he has impressed upon the other players, and he's certainly been not shy in saying it in the public, is something they got wrong in 2017, a tour where they got a lot right and they went very, very close to beating India, was not making huge runs, big runs, 600-plus first innings totals when they had the opportunity on a couple of occasions. And they slipped up that way as well in the second test in Sri Lanka last year, where they'd won big on a test surface in Gaul that had spun a lot, and then on a better pitch didn't make a big enough score. So if Australia are going to make the scores they're going to need to make to win the series, there's no more important person than him.
What's their biggest selection headache?
I think the fact that they haven't necessarily got Cameron Green firing on all cylinders for the first test, that complicates a lot of things for them. When you've got an all-rounder of that quality who can bowl with the speed and the ability that Cameron Green has, in addition to being a solid member of the top six, you can play three spinners. You don't necessarily need to balance your four full-time bowlers the way that teams often have to if they don't have a quality all-rounder. So Without Cameron Green being able to bowl at the start of the series, that means they can't necessarily pick the four specialist bowlers they might want to if, say, the pitch in Nagpur is going to spin big.
I read your column tonight, this afternoon, in the Age regarding Michael Clarke, who wasn't immediately put into the Hall of Fame. You assessed his character almost as a difficult character. I think that's not putting words in your mouth, but I assume he'll get in next time or very soon.
I think the fact of the or the reason that I wanted to write that piece was that it's already been 3 years,
yep.
And he among his peers, he's got the sort of record that you would say would have been worthy of immediate induction.
Definitely.
And so yeah, it just opens up the question of why the wait and how much longer might that wait go on for when you think that there are other players of his generation who maybe don't have quite as many runs on the board, so to speak, but have definitely got sort of a broader footprint in cricket. And if you think of, you know, obviously there was a rivalry there for a time between Michael Clarke and Shane Watson. Shane Watson's still involved in the game. He's the president of the Australian Cricketers Association. He's had an enormous impact in the 2020 sphere through the IPL and other competitions.
Might have to leave it there, Dan. Yeah. When the music plays, it means we're under the pump. Mate, we will speak to you throughout the series in India, and we really appreciate you joining us. So hopefully we can chat to you then. Appreciate your time tonight.
No dramas, guys.
Chief cricket writer at the
Age,
Dan Brettick there, does a magnificent job. Now, some of our audience are headed off to live coverage of the BBL final between Sydney and Brisbane. For everyone else, we'll be back right after this.